Looking in the scriptures at 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy, Paul writes at the end of his life, and he is writing back to somebody who is perhaps more important to him than anybody else has been throughout his ministry. Paul looks at Timothy as his own son. He looks at Timothy as his own pupil, somebody who he's personally trained and placed in many different ministries. We know of at least four different places that Timothy served, and was at least at one point in time, if not during this point in time, the pastor of one of the most influential churches in Asia, in Ephesus. And so that Paul thought a lot about Timothy and his ability as a minister of the Word of God. And he comes to the end of his life, and this when Paul writes 2 Timothy, he's imprisoned in Rome for the final time, looking forward to the coming execution that he will face at the hands of Nero. And he takes these last minutes to, or last moments of his life, to write back to Timothy. If you think about it, if in your profession you had somebody who was very much somebody that you looked up to, whether it be a secular position or a ministerial position, whatever it is that you do, if you had somebody that you looked up to a lot, you followed everything that they did, they had trained you, they had worked with you, they had been very influential in your own life and in your work, and they had been imprisoned for doing the same exact thing that you are doing. And they had come to the place where they were about to be executed for it. You would have a lot of questions. You would be wondering whether you should just give up now, whether you should just pick a different profession. What is your response? And Paul, anticipating that that was Timothy's mindset, and also knowing that Timothy, as we see in 1 Timothy, is prone to be afraid, he says many times, "Do not be afraid, Timothy. Don't fear." Paul takes these moments and he writes to the son in the faith that he has, and spends just four brief chapters in our scriptures explaining to Timothy the need for him to continue faithfully in what he's doing, to keep going in spite of everything that he sees going on around him, in spite of everything that is about to happen to Paul. Timothy was commanded by Paul, keep being faithful to what you've been called to do. And that's all the book of 2 Timothy is about. Over and over and over again, Paul explains the details of what's going on, he explains what's going to happen, and he charges Timothy, be faithful, continue, keep going. And it's in the midst of all this that we have perhaps one of the most famous verses in our English Bibles, one that we learn at a young age. In chapter 3, we're going to look at chapter 3, starting in verse 14, and Lord willing, work down to chapter 4, verse 2, because in this, the chapter breaks up Paul's teaching and his application of that teaching, so I want to go just beyond that break. But we're going to look, starting in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and work down to verse 4 of chapter 2, and we're going to see that the fact that we have an all-sufficient Scripture will lead us to one conclusion, and only one. And I'm going to leave that conclusion for a little bit later. But Paul is writing in 2 Timothy, and at the beginning of the chapter, he talks about people who are going the perilous times that are going to come in verse 1, and describes what men are going to be like, and I think if you look at it, you can see this happening throughout history. I believe that Paul believed very clearly that he was living in the last days. And Timothy believed that he was living in the last days. And everybody since then has believed that. And we can look at our society around us, and if we don't think that way, I think we're blind to everything that's going on. Well, Paul describes these times that are coming and the people that Timothy is going to face, and gives the example, and starting in verse 8, of Jannes and Jambres, who were probably the priests in Egypt who opposed Moses every time he came to Pharaoh and said, God has said, let my people go, and does this great miraculous a sign, and then the priests copy it. And these are those two priests, and it says, as you get down in verse 9, it gives their end, that their folly shall be manifest unto all men, just as Jannes and Jambres was. And then he goes into this list in chapter 3, verse 10, of all the things that he had suffered. And he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured." Now, Paul talking about persecutions is something that we should listen to, because he had a little bit of background with them. In 2 Corinthians, he lists them very clearly, where multiple times he was beaten 39 times. He was shipwrecked and left for dead. He was stoned and left for dead. He spent a day in the deep at sea, just lost at sea. He found himself on an island probably full of cannibals. Paul went through persecution. He knew what it was like. And at the end of that, we come to verse 14. And Paul says, "You know what I've been through. You know my teaching. You know everything about me." And in verse 13, he says, "Evil men and seducers are going to come and get worse and worse, and deceiving and being deceived." In verse 14, where we're going to pick up, it says, "But you, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy, things are going to get very, very bad. And you see what is happening to me, but continue in what you have learned. Continue in what you know, because you know they are the truth. It says, "knowing of whom thou hast learned them." That would have been Timothy's mom and his grandma. Paul commends them on multiple occasions in this book, I believe twice, for teaching Timothy the scriptures. That would have been a lot more difficult in this time period. They couldn't turn on their iPad and pull up 35 versions of the scriptures. They couldn't go to the local Christian bookstore and buy a copy of the scriptures. They had scrolls in the temple, and that was it. And probably the case with his mom and his grandma is they memorized what they had been taught in the temple. They had gone, they had heard it, and they memorized it, and they in turn took that memorized word and taught it to Timothy. And by the way, what Paul's talking about here would not be our New Testament scriptures. It would be the Old Testament. And that he has learned of Jesus Christ from the scriptures through his mom and his grandma. Paul says these things are going to get bad. People are going to be deceiving, and it's going to get worse and worse. But Timothy, continue in what you've learned. Because what you've learned is the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul tells Timothy, you have learned the Scriptures. That is the only place that you can learn Christ. That is the only place that you can learn salvation. By the way, just a plug here, that's why we have missions. Because without the Scriptures going to people, there is no salvation. People cannot just look up into the sky or have a feeling or think about what's going on around them and come to Christ. It's only through the Word. As in Romans, Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the Word of God. So Paul tells Timothy, continue in what you've learned, because you've learned the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And as if he was anticipating that the question was going to come to Timothy, well, how can you be sure that that's an accurate account? We then have verse 16. And Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is the verse I was talking about. This is very well known. We learn it in our theology classes. We learn it in our Bible classes. And this is the proof text for the inspiration of Scripture. Somebody asks you, how do you know the inspiration of Scripture? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16, and you can quote it. But I don't think that was Paul's primary point in writing that. Because, see, we're just coming off of the fact that the Scriptures are able to make somebody wise to salvation. And so it's not necessarily that they're inspired, which they are, and that's part of it. But they're all we need. These people are coming in, and they're going to tell Timothy, much like if you were the guys in Sunday school, they were telling the people in Colossae, that's great, but there's more. You know, there's this deeper life kind of thing. Or there's all these other things that you need to add to it. No, the Scriptures are all we need. We have the final authority on everything. Paul says that they're inspired, given by inspiration of God, and they are profitable for doctrine. That's for any kind of teaching that we need. For reproof, for telling us we are wrong, which is something, by the way, I don't like to hear. People tell me I'm wrong, and I don't like that. But that's what the Scriptures are good for telling us when we're wrong. For correction, for taking when we're wrong and telling us what is right. It's not enough for us to reprove somebody. It's important that we, with reproof, we give correction. The Scriptures are good for that as well, and they're profitable, and they're sufficient for that. And for instruction in righteousness, or child-type training. All of us who have kids realize that child training is not easy. If I were going to pick a fun job, that would not be it. Because I like it, like, if I'm talking with my wife and there's something that I want her to know, I tell her once, and that's it. And she knows it. If I'm working with my daughter and there's something I want her to know, I tell her, and then 2 seconds later she forgets. And I have to tell her again and again and again, and it's difficult work. And that's what it's like when we're learning the Scriptures. The Scriptures are there to train us, to give us instruction in how to be righteous. How many people, when they hear something, that they say, okay, I need to change that. They hear it once and it's fine. From then on out in life, no problems. It just doesn't happen. Now, it might happen in something. Some people get saved and they're saved from different sins and they never struggle with those again. But overall, we struggle with our sin for our lifetime. The Scriptures are profitable for instruction in righteousness. So Paul's coming off of this telling Timothy, continue in what you've learned, because what you've learned is the Scriptures, which are able to make somebody wise into salvation, and they are all that we need. You want to know salvation? Just look to the Scriptures. You don't need to look anywhere else. By the way, along with that, you want to know what everyone's problem is. The problem is they need Christ. The problem for your unsaved neighbor isn't that they need to stop drinking or they need to stop swearing or they need to stop doing something else. It's they need Jesus Christ. Everything else comes with that. The problem for the Catholic isn't that they need to stop believing that Mary is their intercessor. It's not that they have to stop believing that any point of their doctrine, really. The problem is, the answer to their solution is they need Jesus Christ. They need to trust Him. And the Scriptures are sufficient for salvation and everything else in life. If we want to know where the answer to our problem is, we need not turn to anything other than the Scriptures. And by principle or by teaching, it will tell us the answer to our problem. For those who are unsaved, again, that's Jesus Christ. Whatever their problem is, the answer is Jesus Christ. And that's all that they need to hear, is Jesus Christ is the answer. For those of us who are saved, well, that answer is still Jesus Christ, just a different application of it. The Scriptures are sufficient for everything, with the intent in verse 17 that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So Paul spends the end of chapter 3 telling Timothy, you have an all-sufficient Scripture. It is able to bring somebody to salvation. Trust that. Forget about what people are going to start teaching. Forget about what is going on around you. Don't worry about what's about to happen to me. Teach the Scriptures. You have an all-sufficient Scripture. You have everything you need right in front of you. And then Paul is going to take that teaching in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. He is going to just tell Timothy exactly what that means for him. And he starts in verse 1, he says, I charge thee therefore, because of this very truth that you have an all-sufficient Scripture, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. We have in our hands and in our possession today more copies of the Bible than have ever been available throughout the history of time. I joked that he couldn't just open his iPad and see 35 translations or 35 different versions, but we can. I have the ability to carry with me in my pocket on my phone every version of the Scriptures. We have available to us today more information than has ever been available in history. Therefore, the application should be that much greater to us today. Paul's application to Timothy of having an all-sufficient Scripture, which, by the way, he was memorizing to be able to teach to others, was tell everybody. Teach the Word. Be ready at all times to give the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. This is why you evangelize. Why do you evangelize people? Because you have an all-sufficient Scripture. You have the answer to their problems. You have their need, the answer to their needs. You have the solution. I could say it this way. If we had the ability to cure cancer, we would tell everybody. If I knew the cure, there would be not one person that I wouldn't tell to try and save their life. And that cure would spread throughout this world and cancer would be gone very quickly. We have the cure for a disease that's much greater. This world is dying because of their sin. This world will be judged because of their sin. And we have the cure for it. We just need to tell them. This is why we evangelize. This is why we send out missionaries. This is why the church exists today. We don't exist so that we can come and have fun together. And we do have a lot of fun together. We don't exist so we can come and feel good about ourselves once a week or twice a week, however many times we come. We don't exist so that we have somebody else that we can talk about how bad our life is or how unsaved our coworkers are. We exist so that we can teach the all-sufficient Scriptures that we've been entrusted. That is the purpose of every person in the church. Now, lest I get in trouble here, this wasn't just for the pastor. Let me just make that clear. Timothy, this was given to Timothy, but Paul wrote this for everybody. Paul wrote this and under inspiration to be given to the church. To teach the church that you have a responsibility. He says, preach the word, be ready at all times, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Those words sound familiar? Back in verse 16 of chapter 3, those are the things that Paul said the Scriptures are profitable for. Those are the same things we're supposed to do with it. It's profitable in verse 16 for doctrine. Chapter 4, verse 2, exhort with doctrine. It's profitable in verse 16 for reproof. Chapter 4, verse 2, reprove. For correction, rebuke. For instruction in righteousness, instruct. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We have a Scripture before us tonight that is all-sufficient. It is all that anybody needs. Are we telling them about it? I realize we live in America, and America was supposedly built on Judeo-Christian values, and we're a Christian nation by birth. There are millions of people in this country that do not know anything about this book. There are people who have not heard anything about Jesus Christ. Before I got the tract that was given to me that I would later come to Christ because of, I had heard the gospel one time in my life. And I lived in Ohio. I went to school there. There were Catholics there. There were Christians around me. There were people there. I never heard the gospel. And I guarantee you the same can be said in this city. Right around this church, right around this county, out wherever. There are millions of people who have not heard the salvation of Jesus Christ. Paul says you've got an all-inspired Scripture that is able to make somebody wise to salvation. Preach the Word. Tell everybody. I'm sure you've heard this before. The word preach there is like a herald, an old newspaper boy. I didn't grow up with those kinds of people. I was the one going out in the middle of the night giving the newspaper to people's doorsteps. But I've been told that in years past, people used to stand on the street corner, and there was a little boy there with a bunch of newspapers, and he would hold it up, and he would do all he could to sell that, and he would be yelling, "Extra, extra, read all about it." And he would be wanting to get this news out to everybody who passed by him. That's our responsibility with the gospel. We should be the one on the so-called street corner yelling, "Extra, extra, read all about it. I've got some great news for you. Something that you need to hear." That's our responsibility. And if we understand what we have been entrusted with, that is the only application to that teaching. If we truly believe that what we have is an all-sufficient, all-inspired scripture, there's only one thing that we do. We tell everybody about it, just like a cure for cancer or any other disease. Now, you can go on in chapter 4, and Paul gives a whole bunch more information about what the times are going to be like. And if you read through them, they're just like today. And his idea is, do this because the time's coming when there's not going to be a chance anymore, when people aren't going to listen. And that needs to be our urgency. There is a time coming when people are not going to listen. I don't believe that time is now. I don't believe that people have completely shut off the gospel. If I did, I would just sit in my corner, be happy that I'm saved, and wait for Christ to come. But there is a time coming when people won't hear. And that admonition is, preach the word now. There is a time coming when Jesus Christ is going to judge the world. Verse 1, preach the word now. You have before you an all-sufficient scripture, an all-inspired scripture, the very words of our God. What are you doing with them? When you leave this place, where do they go? Are they confined within that however big book you have in your lap? Are they confined within your iPad, your phone, whatever you have before you? Or are you actively seeking to share it with everybody, realizing it is the answer to their problem? I'll be honest, I fail every day. I really do. This isn't something that missionaries and pastors just do. They don't just get it and say, "Oh yeah, you know, I can cross that one off my list. I got that one down." But this was Paul's application. His teaching is very familiar. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for everything. His application, maybe we don't get that very often when we read those verses. We stop right there. But his application was, you've got it, now tell everybody about it. My guess is you're thinking of somebody that needs to hear. That's just where our minds go. It's how we work as humans. You're thinking of somebody that you haven't told. And if you weren't, you are now. Will you faithfully proclaim this word? Will you faithfully teach the gospel to somebody? Start with one. And then once you get that down, build. We have an all-inspired scripture. We have one responsibility. Tell it to all. And honestly, when that starts happening, the Church of Jesus Christ will look very different. It will boom, I promise you, because there are people whom God has said will be saved. You look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. God is faithful, and Paul kept preaching, kept going in spite of everything. Why? For the sake of those he knew were going to hear and listen and obey. There are people out there who are ready to hear the gospel and are ready to be saved. We just need to tell them. It is all of our responsibility, all the time, no matter what we're going through. How are we going to enact? How are we going to start the wheels moving? It's going to look different for everybody. Kids, you might be a little bit more limited because you can't go anywhere without your parents, but that doesn't excuse you. Parents, you might be limited because you can't go anywhere without your kids, but that doesn't excuse you. We all have a responsibility because we all have the same scriptures. Let's tell everybody we come in contact with, let's preach the word every opportunity we get. I'm only here because somebody took that opportunity to hand me a tract when I didn't want it. I wanted nothing to do with it. I wanted him out of my store so I could close. I'm thankful that he did. Don't do it at closing time, by the way. Don't start up conversations at closing time. But I'm thankful that he did. He took his responsibility to preach the word seriously. We need to do the same. And we'll give God all the praise as he works through us to grow his church, to see it just boom in this world. Are you guys ready? Here in your community to do that? I'm ready to go. I have to do it here too. But I'm ready to go to Italy to do the same thing. You be ready to do it here. You hold down the fort here. This is where you're called. This is where you minister. Minister faithfully. That's our goal. That's our life. That's all we can do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the tasks that you have.